Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are continuing an amazing series of studies, themes in the Gospel of John. It's one of my favorite books in the whole Bible. Today, the testimony of a group of outsiders, the testimony of the Samaritans. Great study. We're glad you joined us. Welcome to the team. Glad you're here. And I'm excited today, as you can tell, because Travis is going to lead us in the study. And it's a great study, isn't it? The testimony of the Samaritans. We've also got some remote team members with us. Let's welcome Alex. Great to have you back with us, Alex. Glad you're here. And Corey, great to have you with us today. We are looking forward to great study. We're glad you're here wherever you are in the world. And we're always happy when you write to us at sshope or hopetv.org. People also go to our YouTube channel. We've got about 115,000 subscribers right now, growing every day, and leave comments there. But we'd love to hear from you. Remember to tell us the country where you're watching. Jeffrey writes to us from Zambia and says, "Hello, my fellow saints."
Hello. Hello.
We don't often get called fellow saints. Yeah. Thank you, Jeffrey. He says, "I'm from Lusaka, Zambia. I really enjoy the discussion of the Bible every week. Please never give up. We're almost home."
Amen. Amen.
May God continue to bless you as you take the message to all parts of the world. Thanks a lot for your effort. Well, Jeffrey, thanks a lot for your email to us. We're glad you're part of the great miracle of the Hope Sabbath School family around the world. John writes to us from Romania.
Okay.
And John says, "For over 10 years, I have followed Hope Sabbath School. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the interactivity of the group, the Bible-centered discussions, and guess what? Many
testimonies."
Testimonies. You're right, Jason.
Amen, amen.
May God bless the group, the leaders, and everyone who's watching Maranatha. Well, thanks for writing to us, John from Romania. And you're reminding us how powerful the Word of God is, and also how powerful a testimony is about what God has done in someone's life. Well, here's a handwritten note from a donor in Michigan. Okay. "Dear Hope Sabbath School family," the donor writes, "we don't give names, but we do want to say thank you to you and to all of our partners in mission. Thanks for all you do. I greatly appreciate the enthusiastic way in which the Hope Sabbath School team presents the study. The input from each participant gives me a better perspective on how to teach the Bible at my church."
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. "When I first started teaching, I was very nervous and I relied on your outline." So you can download the outline from our website, just like Travis is using the outline. We all have a copy of the outline. You can download it. You can use it. "Today, I'm more comfortable teaching. I pray for wisdom and understanding that God will guide me during each study." Well, that's what we pray too, isn't it? Thank you for sharing, donor. "You're all an inspiration to me, but most especially Gladys." Well, amen. Gladys, you're here today. Could you give a wave to Michigan?
Wow.
"Most especially Gladys for her courage during the challenges she faces. Amen. Her smile is infectious.
Amen.
And I'm sure it's an encouragement to others who might be facing similar challenges. May the Lord continue to bless and keep all of you strong in the faith. And may this small gift be multiplied to help Hope Sabbath School go forward."
Amen.
And a donation of $200.
Amen.
Well, thank you, donor, Michigan. You say, "I want to be part of the great miracle." Mm-hmm. And you can too. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. Click on the donate button or get an address and write to us. Send a gift. Say, "God, let this make a difference for the kingdom of heaven."
Amen.
One last note from Papua New Guinea.
Right.
Someone described Papua New Guinea as an island of gold floating on a sea of oil.
Wow.
Wow.
But there are many Hope Sabbath School members in Papua New Guinea.
Amen.
And the Ruby writes, and Ruby says, greetings from Papua New Guinea. Thank you, Hope Sabbath School, for your discussions. You are richly anointed. Your discussions open my mind spiritually and help me to share when I study the Bible. May God bless your ministry. That's all the way from Papua New Guinea. Ooh, wow. Ruby, thanks for writing to us. We're glad you're part of our family. Mm-hmm. We'd like to have you all sing with us our theme song. But before we sing, Behold the Lamb of God, our theme song for this series on themes in the Gospel of John, I want to tell you about the free gift. You say, Derek, I've already downloaded that collection of trilogy scripture songs from the words of Jesus. I look today, there are four from the Gospel of John and two from the book of Revelation. What a great way to memorize the words of Jesus by learning them in song. Just go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. Click on the free gift tab. Do a little jump up and down because you're excited. You can download those six songs. You can share them with your family members. Let's hide the Word of God in our hearts so the Spirit can bring that Word to our remembrance at just the time we need it. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's sing our theme song now. You say, I've memorized it. This isn't a song from the words of Jesus, but it is in John's Gospel. It's the testimony of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. Let's sing it together.
Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin. Who takes away the sin of the world? I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. I saw the Spirit descending, and He remained upon Him. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin, who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb, the Lamb of God.
You know, Travis, that's what this whole series is about, right?
Amen.
Even for Samaritans.
Even for Samaritans.
Well, let's lead us in a study. Testimony to the Samaritans.
Let's pray. Amen. Father in heaven, as we behold the Lamb of God, may we taste and see that the Lord is good.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I pray that the Spirit of God would anoint us, Lord, as we study. Lord, may your love be revealed in a powerful way in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 I was encouraged as I was watching the faces of those singing the song, Behold the Lamb of God.
Amen.
What encouraging words from the scriptures. Well, we're going to be talking about the Samaritan people today. And as I studied, as I prepared for this study, I was just reiterated to me again, God's deep love for mankind. Mm. And I'm excited for this study. When we were getting ready, Derek had to tell me to slow down because this is one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible. Right. God's love for the Samaritan people. So let's just get into the study. An event occurred in 722 BC. Let's talk about that. Does anybody know what happened in 722 BC? Yes, Puya.
So in 722 BC, the Assyrians came and conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, and they took them as captives.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they carried them away as captives. Anyone else want to add to what happened there during that time? Mm-hmm. They didn't just carry them away.
Well, I think what we'll see, and it's part of the amazing story, isn't it, is that the Assyrians deliberately sent people of other religious backgrounds, what we would call idol worshippers, into that to mix with some of the local people who were left. And so you get this mixture of religion and paganism and that's what's existing all the way up until the time that Jesus is walking there in Judea and in Galilee.
Thank you for sharing that. Well, this caused some strain between the tribes of Judah, the two tribes that are remaining to the south, and of course to the 10 tribes to the north who became the Samaritan people. I would like someone to read 2 Kings, maybe Sabina, you would read 2 Kings 17:33. We want to look into what was it that caused this strained relationship between these two groups. And maybe this might be one of the reasons. There'll be more. We'll expand on that. But Sabina, if you'd read from 2 Kings 17:33, that would be helpful. Mm-hmm.
So I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "They feared the Lord, yet served their own gods, according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away."
So they're mixing their belief in God with worship of idols. What are some other reasons that may have existed? Puya.
I believe when the Jews were allowed to return back from their captivity, the Samaritans blocked them or tried to stop them from rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem, because the Samaritans wanted to build their own places of worship in their territory. And so they were in the way of the Jews rebuilding the temple.
Good point, Puya. Sabina?
And the group that had remained and somewhat had mingled with the Assyrians that came, they had built somewhat their own way of religion to reach out to the same God that they one day had shared. So now, even though they still had the law and they had, you know, an understanding about Yahweh as being God, they started having different ways of interpreting the Torah. And eventually, even as Puya was saying, their perception of where should, you know, be the temple settled.
Yeah, we're going to see that as we get further into the study, that there was a different idea of worship. As I read in 2 Kings, they were some of them even sacrificing children. And so there was some bad things happening within the Samaritan people. But there were some people who believed in the one true God. Well, is there anybody else could think of another reason that they were that there was a strained relationship? I know we've heard the story of the Good Samaritan, and we don't want to just assume that the Jews were great people and didn't have problems of their own, right? Of course, as we've been studying, we've realized that the religious leaders did have problems of their own, but there was this hatred that was between the Jews and the Samaritan people. Well, we're going to talk more about the Samaritan people, because Jesus is going to go on a little journey. And he's intentional about going to Samaria. But I want to go back 600 years before this happens, because Jeremiah the prophet wrote something about this people group before the Assyrians had led them into captivity. And if I could have Corey read Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. And there's two points that are made in this verse that I want to focus on. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. Would you read that for us, Corey?
Yeah, I will. I'm reading from the New King James as well. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they had two things. They had abandoned God, the fountain of what?
Living water,
and made for themselves cisterns that don't hold any water at all. Mm. I want you to put that in a shelf in your mind, because, well, we're going to find out that Jesus is going to offer the Samaritan people living water. Right. 600 years later. Let's read, if I could have Zandili read, John chapter 4, 1 through 4. This might give us some insight into why, Jeremiah might give us some insight into why he is going to go through Judea. But read this, please.
So, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus met and baptized more than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria.
So all of you know the story. I don't want to pretend we don't know the story. We know the story.
There may be many people watching who don't know the story.
Yeah, right? Who may not know the story. But why do you think after we've just read Jeremiah 2:13, why do you think he might need to go to Samaria?
Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus came to save and to seek and to save those that are lost. So the fact that he said that he had to go through Samaria, there is a divine appointment that he was getting ready to have.
Well, we're going to dive a little bit further into this story because there's a divine appointment coming. Mm-hmm. And I am going to have Gladys, you read John chapter 4, 5 through 8, if you would for us. John chapter 4, 5 John chapter 4, 5 through 8.
Okay, and I'm reading from the New International Version, John chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food.
Okay, we're getting some insight into why Jesus had to go. Who did he meet here at the well?
A Samaritan woman.
Okay, so we just have learned that there is some hatred between the Samaritans and the Jews, but what other prejudice might we see here that would make this what word do I want to use? Unusual, Jason.
Oh yeah, for a man talking to a woman, you know, in that manner.
Okay, mm-hmm. So women weren't held as equals in the society. Yeah. Sabina.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and on top of that, they were alone, it seems from the testimony here, so.
Oh.
Not only it was uncommon for men to direct the words in that way, especially like being alone on a well, they had a tradition also to be a place where people eventually would meet a partner.
Mm-hmm. As you know, that's from, interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alex, you have a comment?
Yes, and to go on what you said about the hatred, the Jews were even willing to cross over the Jordan and go all the way around just to skip Samaria in order to go to Galilee.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. So Jesus is going to, well, let's read a little bit further because he's going to ask the woman something in John chapter 4, verse 9. And if I could have Joshua read that for us, John chapter 4, verse 9, he asks, he requests something from this woman.
All right, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans."
So the woman here is surprised as well, right? That Jesus would ask her a drink of water. What do you think her thoughts were as Jesus was asking the question? Do you think she had any clue that this was the Messiah yet?
No, not yet.
Mm.
You know, it's interesting, just noticing, Travis, that John puts the comment, mm-hmm. Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. Yeah. Right. You spoke about the hatred, but it seems that it's primarily one way.
Yeah. Mm.
Now, it may be, you know, you get hostile to people who are mean to you, but as Alex pointed out, the Jews didn't even want to go through Samaria, right. Mm. Let alone bring living water to the Samaritans. So, you know, these, I mean, that challenges me because we may treat other people like that, mm-hmm. who are outsiders, who aren't like us. Mm. And Jesus says, no, I've got to go to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Praise God.
Yeah.
Well, I would like someone to read John chapter 4, 11 through 15. And if I could have Leslie, yeah. If I could have you read that, please.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said. And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I will give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water.
So what can we learn about this Samaritan woman from this interaction with Jesus? Booyah.
Well, we see that she came in the middle of the day to draw water, and possibly because she was trying to avoid contact with other people. Mm-hmm. You know, who would go and fetch water in the hottest time of the day? Like, you would want to you would prefer to get water in the evening. So we can learn that, for one, she probably had some problems in her own life that she was trying to avoid people, and yet mm-hmm. here is someone who is able to offer water, mm-hmm. living water.
Mm. Sabina.
And also, I think it sticks to me that she, as a Samaritan, also may have been brought up to learn that she should not mingle with Jewish people. Yeah. So just like the Jewish thought they would be uncleansed in, just by touching or in the presence, I don't know in the presence, but by touching a Samaritan, maybe she was brought up to have prejudice against a Jew. So the fact that she was open to Jesus is right. Impressive to me.
That's a good point, Gladys, and then I will come to Alex.
Yeah, I think that is interesting that she says, you know, yeah, give me this water so I don't have to come here. It's like she wants to be relieved of the burden of coming, just like Puya mm-hmm. was saying, to a place where probably she was chastised before, where she was mm-hmm. hated on before. Yeah. And now she finds somebody who's not only willing to break the cultural barrier, mm-hmm. but to do something for her that nobody has done.
Amen. You know, Gladys, I'm starting to think she recognizes the divinity of Jesus because mm-hmm. She asks for the living water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he offers, and she's ready to receive it. Alex.
And to go on what you were saying, Travis, she was realizing who she was speaking with because she asked the question, are you greater than Jacob? And then they started to compare the two. Right. And Jesus showed her that you will thirst drinking the well of Jacob, but you won't thirst drinking the water that I have.
Amen.
Showing that, yes, I am greater than Jacob.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at another passage in the Bible that talks about the living water. And if I could have Puya read John 7, 37 and 38.
Mm. Can I just say a quick comment?
Yes, go ahead.
It says right there, the assurance that she says, I will never be thirsty again. Mm-hmm. And then she says, and I won't have to come to get water. That's just hits my heart, you know, with such an assurance, yeah. you know, mm. to have that.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's viewers watching who say, I'm thirsty too. And right. that same offer isn't just for the woman at the well.
Amen. Amen.
It's for every person.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Puya, would you read for us?
Sure. And I'll be reading from New King James Version, John 7, 37 and 38. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.
Corey, I'm going to put you on the spot here. As you listen to Puya read that those verses, there's something that caught my attention. Well, not that just rivers of living water would flow out of the person who receives it, but what do you think about Jesus as it said he cried out? Mm. What do you think that looked like?
You know, I think it really just spoke of who Jesus is. I think it's one reason she was drawn to him, is that she saw the kindness and the faith and the love. And when she saw that he was willing to pour out living water to her in that expression, cry out, I just think she really was drawn in to him.
Mm-hmm. When I read that Jesus cried out, I thought Jesus is relentless in his pursuit for those he can save.
Amen.
And I'm so glad that John added that.
Amen.
That he cried out. He's crying out for all of us, right?
Amen.
Well, so I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. How do we receive this living water? Maybe there's a verse in the Bible or so that we might share, or maybe you just have a testimony. Mm-hmm. How do we receive that living water?
There is a verse that says that is very well known, ask and you will receive. And I have always thought of this verse in terms of ask for material things, something that we need. But it was only until recently when I realized the continuation of this verse. And it was saying, because everybody who asks for the Holy Spirit, it will be given to him. And for me, that was like revelational, what he's talking about. But then also there is another verse in Psalms where it says that, so the first requirement is for you to ask, but also it...
Do you want to read that for us?
The second verse or the first verse?
In Psalm.
Oh, in Psalm. But there is a verse in Psalm chapter 66, verse 18, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation.
Just a moment to find it.
Yep. Yes.
Psalm 66.
Verse 18. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Mm. So I see here two requirements for me to have the living water. It's for me to ask. Mm-hmm. And there is another verse in Revelation 22 that talks about the same concept. Mm. And then for me to not keep unknown sin into my life.
Well, I'm going to have Jason read that verse. Yeah. I think it's Revelation 22:17. Yeah. Would you read that, Jason, and then just tell us, how do we receive that living water?
Amen, amen. It'd be my pleasure. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride says, come, and let him who says come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely.
Amen.
Thank you for reading that. So how do we receive the living water?
We just come.
We come.
Simple. Just come.
You know, Sabine, I'm going to make a comment or maybe share a short testimony. Then I'm going to come to your comment. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons this story is so special to me is a few years back on a Sabbath afternoon, I decided to just go in the community and knock on some doors and tell people about Jesus. Mm-hmm. I met a husband and a wife, and I shared the Bible with them. A couple of days later, she calls me on the phone and she says, I want Jesus in my life, but you don't understand how bad I am. She said, I've been married 5 times. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I just can't see how Jesus could love me. And I said, let me share a story with you.
Amen.
And the story of the woman at the well, and I read the story, and she began weeping, weeping, just sobbing on the phone. And she recognized that day that Jesus loved her, even Amen. In spite of her past.
Amen.
This story has been a powerful story
exactly.
just because of the witness it was to this lady.
Yeah.
You had a comment, Sabina.
Yeah, is that for a question, how can we receive? I think that before even receiving, it's so important that we understand that Jesus, God, you know, the Holy Spirit, they make their way towards meeting us. Mm-hmm. So this is an example here of the story of this woman, even someone who would not be wanted, who would be in a part of a population or a region that should not really be a place where God would visit. that he will make his way to be close to us. So he is close already. Yeah. He's already knocking the door, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. So actually responding to him is very easy. As long as we are willing and recognize our need, he will not, you know, withhold his love from us.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah, I'm going to take your comment. Then I'm going to ask you just to give your thought. We just read Jeremiah 2:13 earlier. They've abandoned me, the fountain of living water. Mm-hmm. Here Jesus is 600 years later, come to the same people group, mm-hmm. offering the living water. Make your comment and then just tell us, what do you think about God's love? That someone who's abandoned him, relentless right. pursuit of those who've even abandoned, comes in person mm-hmm. to right. the same people.
Yeah. I just wanted to comment that, you know, as Sabina pointed out, God is always the one who took the first action, right? You know, how can we receive this water? The good news is God has already taken the first action to offer it to us. And as the story pointed out, it doesn't matter what cultural background we may belong. You know, there are parts of the world where some people are, you know, seen as less than, you know, between tribal systems and caste systems. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Jesus freely offers this to us all. Mm-hmm. And to your question of, you know, the prophecy from Jeremiah, it's so fascinating that the very same, like, words that Jeremiah used, right. that they have forsaken the living water, God came back. Jesus came to offer living waters.
Amen.
You know, that's encouraging for me because I was away from God and came back. Mm. There's somebody watching, says, I've abandoned Jesus, mm-hmm. the fountain of living water. Mm. This story lets us know it's not too late to go Amen. Back. Amen. The same right. offer still exists yeah. Amen. For Hallelujah. Any one of us. Yeah. Right? Mm. Sabina.
Travis, I'm also compelled to share a testimony. It's a testimony of a lady that just recently got baptized in my church. I studied the Bible with her and baptized her in 5 months ago, and she's now even supporting the work that I do. And so this lady, she used to work as a priestess as a witch. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. And she was very involved with it, okay? And she eventually encountered a person who became her partner who was a Christian. And this person just started praying and praying with her, for her, not with her. And she told me that a certain day she was on a lake trying to connect with her gods, you know, with those entities that she was. And she heard a voice. And the voice said, I brought this gentleman in your life to bring you back to me.
Wow.
And in that moment, she understood that God was speaking to her. And it was not any of those entities wow. that she was serving. And she, you know, started looking for a church. And for me, that's another example of God, he will meet you wherever you are. Oh, even yeah, if you are looking for a different type of God, yeah. he will find a way to speak to you. Amen. So I just open your heart and yeah. he loves you.
Sounds like the yeah. Samaritans, they yeah. made other gods,
that's
right?
Right.
Well, they don't hold water.
All right. Don't hold water.
What a testimony.
Yeah. yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. We're going to move along in our study. We're in the same story, but Gladys, if you would read for us from John 4:19-20. The Samaritan woman changes the subject when Jesus starts addressing her. Go ahead and read that, please.
Okay, I'm reading from John 4:19-20 in the New International Version. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem.
Now, Jesus had just told her, you have five husbands, right?
Yeah.
He had just revealed that he knew her past. Mm-hmm. And now I don't think she liked that. But so why do you think she changed the subject and didn't want to address what Jesus had just talked about?
We always
about?
Do that. We avoid. We don't want to face the issue. So she wanted to turn it into something religious instead of, yeah. okay, enough about yeah, me.
Exactly.
That's right.
So I just want to speak that I think I misunderstood this story. Now, not everybody will agree with me, but I just thought she was a loose woman going from one man to another. Mm-hmm. But actually, in that culture, mm-hmm. men would abandon women.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And they then would either have to become a prostitute to That's try right. to survive, mm-hmm. or they would have to join themselves to mm-hmm. another man.
That's right.
So to me, she, you know, to me, it's a rebuke of the men in the city. That she went through all of that. I may be wrong, but you say, why would she be ashamed? Because she felt like a failure. She was rejected by everybody. And finally, Travis, she meets a man who doesn't reject her. She sees the love of God. And I see that as just such a beautiful revelation. Now, you know, she may come to me in the kingdom, because I have no doubt she'll be saved in God's eternal kingdom, and say, well, let me tell you the whole story. But I think I have been unduly harsh in the past. Whichever way, her heart was open.
That's right.
To hear a word from Jesus.
I like that perspective, Derek, and I thought that probably those men were fountains of living, or were cisterns that held no water at all. She was looking for love in all the wrong places. And finally, the desire of ages come. That could fill her heart. Gladys.
Yeah, but it's also very clear that she knew that the Messiah was coming. She was searching, seeking. So definitely Jesus really was reaching out to her even before he came to that place.
Praise God.
Praise God.
The immeasurable, unfailing love of God.
Corey, you have a comment.
Yeah, I just want to add and just say what amazing story this is. She probably, like Derek was saying, felt like a broken cistern. And so to have someone offer to fill her with living water, not only to the people, but to be planting a seed with her, to use her in the work, is just such an amazing thing.
Yes.
Great point.
Savina, you had a short comment, and then if you would read John 4:21-25.
Right. So I think that the very fact also that he met her in that place, it was a special place. This, in, I think we may discuss further, but this was not just any well. Right? It had been a place where God had previously revealed himself to his people. And now that he is revealing himself again to a woman from a population that was despised by the Jews, and a woman that had been despised also by the men that had been in her life. For me, it's very revealing also of this love of God again.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I just wanted to say that.
Amen.
So the verses you would like me to be reading is 21 to 25?
Yeah, John 4, 21 through 25.
Okay. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he."
Amen.
So where do you see the compassion of Jesus in his response to her, even though she's changing the subject? Yara.
It's interesting for me how he revealed himself to her. He wasn't walking around and always saying, like, "I'm the Messiah, I'm the Messiah." Same when Jesus was born, he revealed himself to the shepherds. So what is the common theme? It's people that were seeking him, that were open to meet him. So he's looking for people that worship him in spirit.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, I caught a glimpse. Again, I may be completely wrong. I've heard this story. But when she says, "When Messiah comes, he will tell us all things," I imagine when Jesus turned and said, "I who speak to you," that he was smiling with tears in his eyes because there was so much resistance from the religious establishment. And here's this broken cistern that he's going to fill, like Corey said. I just imagine tears in the eyes of Jesus, but a smile on his face. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the first direct revelation to someone that he's the Messiah.
Amen.
To a Samaritan woman whose heart is open.
That's right.
To praise receive God. Him.
It is.
Amen.
So beautiful.
It is. Yeah.
Sandili, did you have a comment?
I wanted to say the compassion that I see is that Jesus is saying, listen, God is a God of people, not a place.
Right, right.
And salvation is for everybody. It's not just for the Jews, but I'm here to offer it to you and the Samaritan. Everybody is included.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Well, we have to keep moving, but I'm going to take a short comment from Alex and Corey, and then we'll move along in our study. This is too important to pass the comment.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, and I wanted to add, you can see the beautiful trend, this revelation being revealed to the woman. First, it was just a random Jew. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, he's not just a Jew, but he's greater than Jacob. Okay, he's not greater than Jacob, but he's a prophet. And now, he's not just a prophet, but he's the Messiah. That's the beauty of how Jesus reveals himself to us, little Amen. By little.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alex. Corey, you had a comment.
Yeah, I love how she kind of leads into it a little bit. Jesus had just told her a little bit about her that he would have never known being a normal person.
Right.
And then she says that when he comes, he will tell us all things. So she takes that little step of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus then reveals fully,
right.
I who speak to you am he.
Amen.
So it's those little steps. Jesus will lead us and let us have those little steps of faith.
Right.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Praise God for Jesus' relentless pursuit of those he loves, right?
Yes.
Leslie, maybe you can tell us how the disciples, there was a resistance to, maybe give us a little peek into how they felt about the Samaritans. Would you expand on that? How did the disciples feel about the Samaritan people? We just saw Jesus felt about them.
Mm-hmm.
But how did the, maybe you could share a couple of verses with us, John chapter 4, 8, and maybe verse 27.
Amen.
And I mean, because they didn't feel the same way about the Samaritan people as Jesus did.
Yeah.
That's right.
If you'd read that for us.
John chapter 4, verse 8.
Yes.
It's living from the New Living Translation. And it says, he was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food.
Mm-hmm.
That's 8.
Mm-hmm.
And 27 says, just then the disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? So they were shocked. They were shocked.
Gladys, why do you think they didn't have the nerve? I mean, they say, why are you talking to her?
I think that they had enough respect for Jesus not to do that. But at the same time, they couldn't hide the disgust at the events that were happening. They couldn't believe that Jesus was doing that. So definitely they would not be doing that if Jesus, you know, were not there.
Mm-hmm. Jason.
Yeah, when I was reading this, Travis, it made me think about Jonah, you know, with the Ninevites. Like, you know, you don't deserve salvation. Like, why are you talking to her, you know? And I was like, wow, it was mind-blowing, you know, that could be an attitude of somebody.
Lord help us.
Yeah.
Alex, you had a comment.
Yes, and I just want to point out that the disciples didn't necessarily hear what the conversation was about. They just saw that they were talking, that Jesus was talking with this woman. So I cannot imagine how they would have reacted if they heard Jesus offering this living water.
Right.
Exactly. They might even have protested. I don't know. But because it took a while before some of them realized that salvation was for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua, I would like you to read for us. Jesus is from John chapter 4, 31 to 38. Because Jesus is about to broaden their horizon,
right.
So to speak.
Right, I love
Amen.
That.
So if you would read that, I would appreciate it.
Okay, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John 4, 31 through 38. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say, there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. And he who reaps receives wages, and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors.
Mm. Wow.
That's a deep revelation. You know, I'm a gardener. My wife and I garden. Mm. And it usually takes between 90 and 120 days to grow some things. So I'm thinking this is in the springtime. And he's saying, lift up your eyes and look. They probably would have saw a bunch of dirt in the field. Mm. And he said, the harvest is ripe. Puya, what are your thoughts about this revelation to the disciples? What is Jesus trying to say to them?
Well, Jesus is trying to help them see that there is no group of people that you should ignore, right? They may have seen the Samaritans as people who do not deserve to receive the blessing from God. I think the lesson is the same for us too. Yeah. There is no people group that we should think as, you know, people who cannot receive. Even maybe say the rich people in our society or the poor, sometimes we tend to ignore the extreme people groups as people who cannot receive the good news. But that's
I'm
not
glad you mentioned that, Puya, because we're going to actually talk about that. So as Sabina makes her comment, for the rest of us, let's think about groups that we may tend to ignore. We can expand on what Puya has just mentioned. Sabina.
Yeah, so Travis, it catches my attention also the patience of Jesus with his disciples. Because he was, you know, it was such a moment of revelation. Like he was again at Jacob's well in that region where he had previously revealed himself to his people. It was a very meaningful place and event that was taking place. The opening of his love to this woman. And here are the very people that had already decided to follow him, so much worried about earthly matters, you know, and still he found a way to use these very people. So I have hope that God can use me as well, as we not always are able to capture the greatness of God while God is on the way of, like, on the making of God, right?
That brings me hope too. He could use me too, Sabina.
That's right.
So as we've thought about this, who are some people groups, as Puya talked about, maybe some of the wealthy, or who are some people groups that we may tend to ignore? Gladys.
I think one of the groups that we ignore a lot are people that have physical impediment or, you know, they're either deaf or blind or lame, or they have some type of physical problems. We ignore them a lot.
Someone with physical problems, Cindy Lee.
I'll say for the most part, people who don't behave like us, who don't eat, dress, listen to what we listen to. Things like that.
That's right.
Yes, Viara.
And I think it's easy sometimes to go and preach to people, but what is hard is actually to befriend them, to have a relationship
That's
with
right.
people. Because it takes time.
Right. Yes.
You know, over the last few months, I have a friend who's a heroin addict. And I've talked to many people who just, they've basically written him off and think that he is going to die. I've went into his house and brought him water when he can't even get out of bed. And I've been praying for God to save his life and save his soul. And I was thinking, these are the kind of people that Jesus would come to, people that society has cast off. And I just believe that that's the type of people Jesus would have come to, Sabina.
And even those who have hurt us, right? Because not only it's hard for we to reach out or befriend those who think different than us or have a lifestyle that we don't like, but also think about those that have already, you know, caused something or harmed our families or our nation. Like you see people who are in war and then you need to speak or befriend someone who is from a different group that has hurt yours as well. And that for me also can happen. It happens actually a lot.
Leslie, I'm going to take your comment, but Corey, I want you to prepare to read John 4, 28 and 29 as Leslie makes the comments, because Jesus makes a disciple out of this woman, and we're gonna see example of that. Amen. Leslie,
I was just about to touch kind of on the same thing. You know, there's people that are, you know, choosing new lifestyles nowadays, and but we in our own family, we have chosen to be loving, to be kind, and to reach out to the, you know, to the ones that may think that they have a different, you know, place. But and the Lord has used us. I'm just going to.
Amen.
It has been a blessing.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing. Corey, would you read from John chapter 4, 28 and 29 for us?
Yes. Amen. John 4, 28 and 29 from the New King James. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?
Amen. Now, Corey, I'm kind of impressed by that story. Just because we've just talked about prejudice between men and women, doesn't say that she went to the women. So I'm thinking the men wouldn't probably have even accepted their testimony. We see that at the death of Jesus, that the disciples, they'd kind of disregarded the counsel of the or the testimony of the women. Yeah. But these men, I mean, they accepted her counsel, and I thought, why would they, Puya, you're smiling, why would they, I mean, her being a woman, even believe what she said?
Right. I'm guessing probably because they knew her so well that they did not expect such a boldness to come out of her. And here she was no longer afraid to face the men and to tell them what she had encountered.
You know, I imagine her feeling, I'm so wretched, how could he even love me? But not only did he love her, he had a job for her, Gladys.
Yeah, I mean, this is a picture of total surrender.
Because
the verse said that she left her water jar. It's not something that she will be finding in every corner. This was precious during this culture. For her to leave it there and run to the same man that probably had abused her or you know, talk about her and tell them with boldness, come and see what I have found.
Right.
That is a powerful message.
Amen, Sandili.
I like the fact that for Jesus to go through Samaria, it was spiritual in the beginning. And she was the reason why Jesus had to go through. And not only that, but she was to be used by God to witness to the whole city. Mm-hmm. And when she goes to say, come see, they, like what Puya said, they indeed know her. And when she talks about men, they'll be like, okay, we want to see this man. And behold, the whole city accepted Jesus.
Amen.
We have some hands raised, but we're going to move on. I want to leave some time for a testimony at the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jason, if you wouldn't mind reading for us verse 39, chapter 4, verse 39. I want to see how they responded.
All right, for sure. It'd be my pleasure. And again, I'm reading from the New King James Version. And the Bible says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the words of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did.
You know, these people, as I keep reading the story, remind me of the Berean Christians.
Yeah.
They really do.
Right.
You say, how so? Well, let's keep reading. Maybe I could have Gladys read John chapter 4, 30, and then 40 and 42.
Verse 30 says, they came out of the town and made their way towards him. Mm. Verse 40 says, so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.
Mm-hmm. He sounds like Andrew. Maybe she's like Andrew. Maybe she's like Philip. Come and see,
yeah.
Jesus spent 2 days with them. What an amazing testimony. Puya.
You know, in our previous study, Travis, we pointed out that many of the religious leaders in Judea were asking Jesus to perform miracles for them to believe that he is the Messiah. Right. But here, Jesus didn't need to perform any miracles.
Right, exactly.
He just stayed with them and talked to them, explained to them from the word, and they believed.
But they had also witnessed a changed life.
I would say that was the miracle.
Yeah, exactly.
They saw a woman completely transformed.
Yes. Exactly.
That's the greatest miracle of all. Matter of fact, that's the power of the gospel to change lives.
Amen.
We don't have to stay how we are.
Yes.
Right? God can change us. Sabine, a short comment, because I wanted someone to share maybe a testimony.
Yeah, so I think I love the idea that keeps coming up of the invitation of come and see. Because, you know, sometimes we want to teach or lead people to God simply by teaching, you know, doctrine or some beliefs that we have. But really the best way that we can help people come to Jesus is leading them into having an experience themselves with God.
Mm.
Right?
Amen. So now it's testimony time. Someone might want to share a testimony, or we can share why it is important for us to share a testimony after we've read this story. What an amazing picture of God's love and how he can use a broken person to affect the lives of other people. Gladys.
Travis, I think one of the things that I struggle with is like saying, God, why me? Why do I go through different situations? But I just met someone that was going through the same situation I was going. She was diagnosed with cancer and she was totally desperate. So at the center where I was getting some treatment, she would cry every day. And one day she came to me and she said, why are you always smiling? If you're here, that means that that you need something. So why are you always smiling? And I told her, and I shared my testimony with her, how God has been working with me and healing me.
Praise God.
And she was like, I want to know more. And just having that opportunity to share how God sustains you when you're going through something tough, just changed her perspective on life. She wanted to die. And all of a sudden she said, no, I think I have a reason to live. And I just praise God that sometimes he allows things to happen to us so we can share Jesus in a different light.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing that powerful testimony. That's why we do this, right? That's why we do this. Anyone else, a testimony? Yeah, Viara.
I just wanted to share that it's easy to share your story when you have a story. But what do you do when you don't have a story? And what I have discovered in my personal life is that I need to focus on showing up in his presence, and getting his word, reading it, praying, and then the rest is on him. And then you can hold it. And I have lots of stories when God had given me an opportunity to share something, but that has only been because I had showed up in his presence and he gave me an experience.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to correct you, but I want to say everybody has a testimony because the staying power of Jesus. Someone has from birth stayed with Jesus the whole time. You didn't do that on your own.
Right.
That is the testimony of the staying power of Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
That's probably a greater testimony than those who have come back because not everybody comes back.
Yeah.
The fact that you've been with Jesus the whole time, we should shout and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That is an amazing testimony.
Yeah.
Derek, this has been an amazing study. Yeah. Someone's probably watching and saying, wow, I've been broken a long time. I've been away from Jesus a long time. He's waiting. He wants to give you the living water. It will flow from you. That's what he said. It will flow from you. He wants us all to be happy and live free and experience the joy of salvation.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you so much, Travis. And thank you for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. You know, maybe you're saying, I need that. Yeah. I need that living water. What do I do? Well, we've learned you come.
Yeah.
You come. You remove any obstacles that are hindering you, as Viera said. You come as you are. And you say, Lord, fill me with the living water. Change me. Change me now and forever. And use me that rivers of living water would flow out of me to those around me. Is that your prayer today?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, what a miracle that you could take us broken and not only fill us, but then let the living water flow out of us to bless those around us. Oh God, let that happen in our lives today and every day. May we press closer to Jesus than ever and allow him by his Spirit to fill our lives. May the living water flow to bless those around us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. What a journey. Themes in the Gospel of John. Draw close to Jesus, my friend, and then go out and be a blessing to those around you.